Hello, everyone. Welcome to Making the Biblical Text Meaningful to Life, a platform on which difficult biblical texts are discussed. Your teachers are Dr. Liberty and Dr. Riverson. Hey, Rob, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, can you please pray for us?
I would love to. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for this time to come together and to study your word. Lord, you have so much that you want to teach us, Father. All we have to do is spend time and just listen. Father, this is such a great study. There's so many things that you are showing us. Mm-hmm. Some things that are just hard to even understand or believe. But Lord, we know.
Your
word is true.
Yes,
and Lord, that is what we seek to do here tonight, is to study your truth and no yes. other. To root out any cultural myths, anything mm-hmm. that is false and that is not a teaching of you, Father. Mm-hmm. Lord, we want to understand you and draw closer to you, Father. That is our purpose. And so, Lord, I just ask that you bless this time, guide us, and be with us. And let your word go forth. These things I pray in the name of Christ.
Amen.
In his name alone.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Rob. Let me just read our text tonight before we go into those few instructions that I want to give. But Adam, first of all, I want to read the text. Look at Hosea chapter 9, and I will begin from verse 1. All right, and I'm reading from the NIV version of the Bible. Do not rejoice, O Israel. Do not be jubilant like the other nations, for you have been unfaithful to your God. You love the wages of a prostitute at every threshing floor. Threshing floors and wine presses would not feed the people. The new wine will fill them. They will not remain in the lost land. Ephraim will return to Egypt and eat unclean food in Assyria. They will not pour out wine offerings to the Lord, nor will their sacrifices please him. Such sacrifices will be to them like the bread of mourners. All who eat them will be unclean. This food will be for themselves. It will not come into the temple of the Lord. 5. What will you do on the day of your appointed feasts, on the festival days of the Lord? Even if they escape from destruction, Egypt will gather them, and Memphis will bury them. Their treasures of silver will be taken over by brails, and thorns will overrun their tents. The days of punishment are coming. The days of reckoning are at hand. Let Israel know this. Because your sins are so many and your hostility is so great, the prophet is considered a fool. The inspired man, a maniac. The prophet, along with my God, is the watchman over Ephraim. Yes, snares await him on all his paths, and hostility in the house of his God. They have sunk deep into corruption as in the days of Gibeah. God will remember their wickedness and punish them for their sins. Now, we are looking at the background. We study the background of the world in which Hosea lived, which contributed to the kind of wedding he had. Okay, first of all, for those of you that are with us tonight, thank you for joining us again. Welcome. If you are with us by way of computer, please, if you have any questions while the teaching is on, use the chat. All right, just use the chat. For those of you that are with us by way of phone, take down this number, and so that whenever you have a question why the teaching is going on, You can call this number and leave your questions. You can call several times. No problem. We will get back to you. The number is 561-406-9853. 561-406-9853. Leave your questions and we'll get back to you. Now, please keep everything around you quiet. All right, radio, phone, TV, because the teaching we're doing is live. So please, and so that we'll all focus on what we are studying. Now, at the end of this teaching, we are going to unmute everyone so that you will have the opportunity to ask questions. All right? Just be with us, and we will have a great time tonight. All right. We need to look at, recap what we did last week. Last week, we introduced Hosea, the whole study on Hosea and his wedding and ministry. And so for those of you who were with us, like you know what we did. And for those who are joining us tonight, please go back to part one of our study, and then you're going to find out exactly all the things we studied. All right, but here, let me just recap some of the things so that for the benefit of those who are joining us tonight. We learned that God commanded Hosea to marry a prostitute and love her in her unfaithfulness. God did this for Hosea to experience the same disappointment, pain, and hurt in his relationship with Israel, that is, the southern and northern kingdoms. The God own people were just doing things that were not right. God was hurt about it. So he wanted his prophet to experience the same thing. Now, the major question that many people have asked over the years have been, will God really command someone to marry a prostitute? Now, in our study last week, we gave you the following answers. We said that many, including those in the early church, would not agree to this. Therefore, they consider this as an allegory in which Gomer represented Israel and Hosea represented God. That's what they would say. No, God cannot command that a faithful man or a holy man will go and join himself with someone who is unholy. Other people will say, well, no, it's an allegory. That's not true. This is what we see in that. Okay. Many today believe that Hosea, a marriage to Gomer, was a real one. It's a real thing. It's not an allegory. It was something that God really planned to be done. Some think that Gomer was not a prostitute prior to the wedding, but she became a prostitute after the wedding. That's the thinking of some people. Okay. Others disagree and believe that Gomer was a prostitute and Hosea married her according to the word of God. So these are what we looked at last week. Now, and we also said last week that the northern and the southern kingdoms sin against God continually. No one, I mean, both kingdoms, after the separation, they sin against God. The southern kingdom, the northern kingdom were doing the same thing. No one was living in the fear of God. God, in his sovereignty, turns the table around to his servant, the prophet Hosea, to marry a prostitute who would be unfaithful, and yet he was to love her as God loved Israel in spite of their sins. Israel, as the bride of God, continues to live in prostitution by worshiping other gods. This is what we look at last in the broader level of the introduction. God did that. It was not an allegory. But the life that Israel was living, God wanted the prophet to experience the same thing Israel as a bride was living in a continual disobedience and doing their own thing. So God told the prophet, hey, let me turn the table around. You go and marry a prostitute who you will love, but she will be unfaithful to you, for you to feel how I feel as God. But yet you need to love that person. All right. Now, every name of Hosea's three children with Gomer describe the kind of height and feeling God had and what he had planned to do to Israel for worshiping other gods. God, who commanded Hosea to marry to a prostitute, can do the same today if he wanted to make a point to his people. Because God is sovereign, he does no wrong. Now, these are the area of study we will look at we will be looking at tonight. We want you to really be with us. You know, these are our objectives tonight. Carefully listen to that. Rob, you said you have something to add to these objectives tonight.
Yes. Yeah, so you make an excellent point about the contention whether this is allegory or whether this is an actual prophet that this happened to. Mm. You know, God asks us to do things that take us out of our comfort zone. He calls us to be a witness to others.
Uh-huh.
And so here, Hosea's name means salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And we look at it, what was his response? He went. He took his wife, and yeah, he was fruitful. He did not question or argue, as did Moses and others that went before him.
Right.
He pays a low price for her that we see a little bit later on, to purchase her out of the slavery for a season, you know, to buy her back out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And this can be said of Israel's sin, as Israel, what we see is happening here, in God's eyes, is losing their value.
Right.
Because they become so sinful that the preciousness is going away. So now, think about this. Christ came, and he took his church as his bride.
Yeah.
Mankind was lost, wicked, and disobedient, returning to his wickedness, just like Gomer. But to Christ, we're beautiful and we're loved. You know, God asked Christ to do the same thing, and he accepted completely, without question or arguing, and he paid the price. So, just to paint a picture of how worthless our sin is, and that we become, we turn to Isaiah 64:6,
mm-hmm,
which reads, "But we are all as an unclean thing,
mm-hmm,
and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away."
Mm-hmm.
In English, this doesn't sound so harsh, but in Hebrew, the words here that's used for unclean means impure.
Mm-hmm.
And the word for filthy rags basically means menstruation rags. I mean, this is filthy, dirty, you know, just the sin is just absolute wickedness and can't be in God's presence.
Mm-hmm.
So Christ, knowing this, did not object. He accepted.
Mm-hmm.
And rescued us from this, you know, laid down his own life. Same here that we see with Hosea. He does the exact same thing. Now, the other thing that's interesting to point out is he has three children. And we've looked at the meaning in numbers before, numerology. Mm. And three represents divine completeness and perfection,
mm-hmm,
as we see in the triune Godhead or the Trinity, the three patriarchs. So we should pay attention to what's happening here as we see some indication of divine providence. So the firstborn, Jezreel, means God sows. And I thought about this for a while as I was looking at it. And, you know, when you're sowing seed, You're scattering it across the land. You're not just putting it in one little place, but scattering it about. And the name here is prophetic because it's pointing to the day when God will scatter the Israelites across many lands.
Yeah.
And we know historically this happened. The next child, the daughter, her name means no mercy or not pitied. And only the house of Judah shall be saved, as the other tribes will be scattered because of the rejection of God. So he's only going to tarry so long and allow this behavior to continue. And then the last child, the name Lo-Ami, means not my people. So they're no longer his people or a reflection of God because they've turned their back on him.
Uh-huh.
So they will not be his children. And so we see this. So harsh times are coming. And, you know, here, this is a prophecy, not only in the names of the children, but in the life of Hosea. As he's made this sacrifice, he's gone. He's done exactly as God commanded him, without question. And he takes this woman, Gomer, for his wife.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I believe this was an actual person, an actual set of events that happened.
Yeah.
Because, as we know, God asks us to do very hard things many times. We don't like it, but we realize it's for our own good, and it allows us to grow, and it also serves as a witness to those around us, especially in our suffering and our trials and our tribulation.
Right.
That's when people are watching us the most. So, and Israel's about to go through some trials and tribulations here.
Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you, Rob. That's great. Now, what we're going to be looking at now is what we just discussed. One, we recap all that we studied last week, and then give you the objective of our study tonight. Now, let us start with one of the major points here. And tonight, we made a promise last week that tonight we're going to study the historical background of the world in which Hosea lived and what contributed to the kind of wedding he had. So let's look at the historical background. That's the first thing we'll look at. Okay, now, Israel, now you listen, read Hosea chapter 9. And there you found out that Israel had gone away from the Lord. They're doing their own thing. Now, Israel had a divided kingdom because of Solomon's sin during his son Rehoboam's reign. When we studied Solomon, we realized that during the beginning of his reign, Solomon walked in obedience to God's will like his father David. But as he was blessed, he abused the blessings and began to do any kind of thing. Plunged the whole kingdom into sin. He had so many wives. What the word of God say he should not do, Solomon did everything. Now, God told him that the sin you have committed, you will be punished, but it would be done during your reign, but it would be done after you. So when Rehoboam took over, the word of God was fulfilled. The country was divided. 10 tribes joined a man called Jeroboam. He rebelled against Rehoboam. That was the will of God. So the 10 tribes became Israel. And then Judah remained, and because God had promised David that his throne will last forever, so Judah remained. There were just 2 tribes that remained under David. So here were situations. Now, the main point that I want you to look at very carefully is the northern and the southern kingdoms sinned. Both kingdoms were just, no one obeyed the Lord. Everyone was doing their own thing. 5. take for instance, Jeroboam came up and said, okay, we're going to walk out. And because God has spoken about it, so he walked out with 10 tribes. But when he went, they were sinning. They were sinning. And as well as Judah was also sinning. And that'll pick up the point one by one, okay, to deal with this. Let's look at the sin of Jeroboam, who became the first king of the divided kingdom in the northern kingdom. What was really the sin of Jeroboam? What really was the things he did? He just walked in gross disobedience to God. Jeroboam was the first king of the divided Israel. We know that. When you read 1 Kings 14:9, you found that. But the prophet Ahijah clearly states the sins of Jeroboam. A prophet stood before him and said, and I quote, "You have done more evil than all who lived before you. You have made yourself other gods, idols made of metal. You have aroused my anger and turned your back on God." Jeroboam sinned against God. Now he was the first king of the divided kingdom. Now, instead of obeying God, what did he do? He disobeyed God. Now, there were some strategies he did. He stopped all the pilgrimages. Now, every year, all Israel will come to Jerusalem to worship. So when he started his kingdom, he stopped all the people from coming to Jerusalem. And what did he do? He built his own altar and places of worship, and there was golden calf and different things. And I love what 1 Kings 12:28-30 says, and let me just read that. Quote, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. One golden calf he set up in Bethel, and the other in Dan. And this thing became a sin. The people came to worship the one at Bethel and went as far as Dan to worship the other." You read that. Now, he was just playing what we call political strategy, because he felt that as long as Israel will come to Jerusalem, they will be influenced by Rehoboam. All right, so he said, "Well, I'm not going to deal with that. I'm going to start my own worship center." He had his own golden calf. He had his own altar. And what did he do? He appointed his own priest. Right? Can you imagine that?
No, I can't. I mean, this is just utter wickedness. And you're right. It did begin with Solomon, because we see, as he started to disobey God, his children got farther and farther away, and the downward spiral began in the northern kingdom. Jeroboam, he didn't even listen to his elders. He did as he wanted and went about things his own way. But at the same time, the big sin in this is that as their king, he led the people astray as well. He set up these false idols and got all of the people, well, we don't know how many or if it was all of them, but we can deduce from the context here that he led many of them astray. And so this is what we're seeing in the prophecy that we're reading about here, that God's only going to tarry and tolerate this for so long, and then he's going to cast them about amongst all the lands.
Mm. Yeah, thank you. You see, what he did was, he did all that he could do to turn the people's hearts away from David, from Jerusalem. So he had his own altar, he had his own priest, he had everything going on in his area. No one from his area will come to Jerusalem anymore, but who were they worshiping there? They were worshiping false gods. All right? So Hosea's ministry started, he worked for a long time, started around 750 to 760 BC, and he began his ministry around that area. The history of the Northern Kingdom then spiraled downward quite swiftly. The end was ugly and disgraceful. See, when Jeroboam I died, Jeroboam II took over, and at that time, the country they claimed that they were being blessed, and because of that, they did everything wicked. What was happening then in that kingdom, the Northern Kingdom? Now, here were the things that happened there. Of the six kings that followed Jeroboam II, four were assassinated. They killed four of them. Zechariah, Shalom, Pekahiah, and Pekah. Four were assassinated just from one step to another. So can you imagine what was going on at the time? And one was captured in battle. His name is Hosea. He's some of the names here with the Hosea we study. He was captured in battle. Menahem was succeeded by his son. But this was also evil. Now, the problem here was from the time of Solomon, every king would do something wickedly. No king would stand and do what is right. Everyone was just following the pattern that they met, that Solomon started. That hurt the people of Israel, and even the divided kingdom. It really hurt them. And I want you to pay key attention to that. There was a major problem. Amos had never done. Now, in this, prophet at the time that were speaking against it was Amos, Hosea, Isaiah was prophesied at the same time too concerning what was going on here. But Amos, when he was prophesying, he was not specific on who was going to punish Israel. But when Hosea came into the picture, Hosea came completely and said Assyria would be the one that God would use to punish Israel. And that prophecy, as we know, came to pass. All right. Now, what was the... That was a major thing. Now, let us look at what was the sin of the Southern Kingdom, which was headed by Rehoboam. We told you that the divided kingdom both sinned. So we have just talked about Jeroboam, all that he did. He had his own worship center. He was doing everything. What did Rehoboam do and his successor? Let's look at it. In addition to this sins practiced in Israel, Judah added male court prostitutes. Now, can you, Rab, on the Southern Kingdom, you said you have something here.
Yeah, I was going back through my notes and reading back through many of these verses today and just reflecting on it. And, you know, we see the northern and the southern kingdoms, and these two kingdoms illustrate another point, and that is that there are two roads in life.
Mm-hmm.
The way of the northern kingdom, which, you know, they knew the right path,
mm-hmm.
Yet they still serve false gods.
Right. They failed, yeah.
There's the way of the... Yeah, so they went their own way. And then there's the southern kingdom. Now, you know, this is the tribe of Judah, and they remain faithful.
Mm-hmm.
And through them, you know, through their remnant, Christ came through that lineage. You know, and one of his names is the Lion of Judah.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of their faithfulness, all of us can have salvation through Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Now, It's interesting because two means difference, division, or double portion. So just like there's male and female, light and darkness, we have these two paths in life, the two roads.
Right.
The road of the Northern Kingdom, which rebelled and basically got all these, as you point out, these kings were assassinated, conquered, and all the people were scattered throughout the earth. Or the way the Southern Kingdom, which remained as a remnant, remained faithful,
mm-hmm.
and through them came Christ our Savior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's up to us to choose.
It's up, yeah. Two roles. Where do you belong? I mean, that's a great point. That's a great point. See, both kingdoms were wicked. The only reason that Rehoboam was not judged like Jeroboam was because of God's promise to David that he would not utterly destroy his heirs when they sinned. Nevertheless, God allowed Judah to be attacked. Yeah, because of that, God allowed Judah to be attacked. Egypt was the first country to come against Judah as an instrument of God's punishment. Now, here we come, Egypt the first. Now, King Solomon marry who? At the time, during his reign, he married the daughters of the king of Egypt. But here, Rab, Egypt is the first now to have come against Judah to punish them. What do you think about that? I'm concerned.
Yeah, so what we saw that, we talked about it a couple weeks ago, because under Solomon, Egypt was the first one to come to him to seek his wisdom, to bring him gifts and their wealth. You know, and remember, Moses and all the Israelites came out of Egypt, then they come back and there's an alliance, and then, you know, Solomon reigned for a short season. When his reign was over, under his son, Egypt came right back and took everything back.
And took everything back home, yeah.
Yes, took all the gifts and then some, that took more.
Yeah.
All the way back. So yes.
Yeah, the rebellion that Solomon started really destroyed the country. But because God is the promise keeper, this is why Judah continued on to this day. The Northern Kingdom was wiped out completely. They were taken and never returned, according to Jewish history. I think I did a lecture one time, and that was one of the key things that we discussed in there. All right, the Northern Kingdom, they were taken out, and everyone was taken away. They never returned. And they scatter all over the world. You can trace them, and even when you trace them completely, you know, and look at it carefully, you will get to know that this country, the United States of America, they are the descendants of Ephraim. From that study, that was a study I did two, three years ago. It's a great study. But anyway, we are not on that tonight. The point here is that the two kingdoms sinned, but God was faithful because of his promise that he made to who? To David. Now, the prophet Shemaiah informed Rehoboam and the leaders of Judah that since they had abandoned God, he was abandoning them to Pharaoh. Now, really, God spoke. He said, because you disobeyed God, what happened? I am going to send Pharaoh against you to destroy you, to punish you. And God did, as we just talked about it. Now, let's look at a time when God called Hosea into ministry. At the time of Hosea call, the Southern Kingdom had 10 kings. Two of them, Asa and Jehoshaphat, being good kings. And I know there in the Southern Kingdom we saw some goodness. Asa and Jehoshaphat were good kings. They brought in revival. The Spirit of God moved in them and said, no, we can't worship them. We can't do that. But how far it goes? It didn't go anywhere. The evil kings came back. The Northern Kingdom had 13 kings. 13 kings of them being evil. Oh man. And this is where they worship the same thing that the northern kingdom did. The southern kingdom were doing the same thing. So God faithfulness to his people, because God is the promise keeper, he will always do what he has promised to his people. The northern kingdom had greater decline spiritually, morally, socially, politically, economically, and then you can go on with the territorial limit. Everything was just taken away from them, and they were destroyed and taken from their own country and taken into foreign land and never to return. But Judah remained. Why did Judah remain? It is because God had promised David, your throne will be there forever. And because Judah remained, we have Christ today to worship. And I just love that. You see? Now, Rehoboam in 2 Kings, as I talk about, they had a little revival. But the whole while when they were leading, it was from one king to another doing evil. Doing evil. There was nothing right there. Hosea's ministry was speaking, and it was a turbulent time. Things were not going right in the country. The whole country was in turmoil. Everything was just upside down. Now, and this is where we come. With what we have been talking about tonight, now I want you to pay keen attention to this concluding point that we're going to make here. Now, God brought Israel out of the land of Egypt. God had been with them. God gave them a country. God fought alongside of them. God blessed David and his son Solomon. Solomon plunged the whole country into sin. And all the other kings followed the same wickedness, with the exception of few. So the people of God, every time they were not doing anything to please the Lord, they were always rebelling against him. Now let's just reflect the whole thing. Reflect on the whole study that the both kingdoms were not doing anything. They all rebelled against God. They were doing their own thing. Some were worshiping, but every now and then they turned upside down doing what was evil in the sight of God. The continual disobedience of Israel contributed to the kind of wedding Hosea had. Now, I want you to pay keen attention to this note, to the concluding point. The kind of wedding the prophet had a great deal to do with the situation of his time. And God wanted to just make a point through Hosea. God loves the people of Israel, but they continue to sin. They to do any kind of thing. So God said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. He told the prophet to go and marry to a prostitute, so that the prophet will feel the same way how he has been. God is disappointed with the people of Israel. He's in pain. He loves them, but yet they're not responding to his call. They're not obeying him. So he said, you, prophet, go and do the same thing so that you will have the same experience, the same pain I feel, but still have the same love that I have. Now, I think it was not only when we look at scripture, it was not only the prophet Hosea that God gave someone a strange a command, but one of us was given to Ezekiel. Is that right?
Yeah, it's we see so much. This is just interesting because, the Israelites are on the right path for a season, but then so quickly, everything can just disintegrate.
Right. Did that change?
A couple of years. Yeah. And so we may find it hard to believe that God would say, hey, go marry a prostitute, but But what greater witness is there? And who did Christ go to when he was here? I mean, I remember, there was the woman at the well that everybody, well, there's so many different people that we saw that he went to. The adulteress, the poor, those that had been rejected by society. So why not send Gomer? I mean, why not send Jose to Gomer as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, even Jonah, he had to go to Nineveh, a town he despised, did not want to do. Now, we saw what happened to him. He went the other way and suffered, at least temporarily. So, yeah, this is very interesting.
It's interesting.
We see them, they have glimpses where they're aligned with God, and as you said, God is the promise keeper, because yes, ultimately man is a sinner, and no matter how much we try to do the right thing, it is impossible given our sinful nature. Only through the Holy Spirit can we attempt to try and live a just and worthy life. But we no longer have the perfection that we did when we were created in the garden. So, but that is our hope and what we look forward to. So
that's good. That's true. That's true. Look, with Ezekiel, I don't want to read the whole thing, but for those of you that are listening tonight and those who are listening by replay, you can read Ezekiel chapter 5. All right, look what God said here to Ezekiel. Now, son of man, take a clay tablet, put it in front of you, and draw the city of Jerusalem on it. Then lay siege to it. Erect siege works against it. Build a ram up to it. Set up camps against it, and put battering rams around it. Then take an iron and pan, place it as an iron wall between you and the city, and turn your face toward it. It will be on a siege, and you shall besiege it. This will be a sign to the house of Israel. Verse 4 says, then lie on your left side and put the sin of the house of Israel upon yourself. You are to bear their sin for the number of days you lied on your side. I have assigned you the same number of days as the years of their sin. So for 430 days, you will bear the sin of the house of Israel. Look at that. That was another command God gave to one of the prophets. Look, just do this, because Israel will, the city will be captured. They are doing evil. But you take their sin upon you. That was a strange, another area. But what did the prophet do? Though it was strange, though it was hard, but what did he do? He obeyed. What did Hosea do? What he obeyed God. That was a command. Go and marry a prostitute. And he obeyed God. So this is where we are. We look at the historical background of the world in which Hosea lived that contributed to the kind of wedding he had. All right. Okay, we stop here today. Next week, join us, and we will be looking at the wedding itself by next week. All right. Invite somebody to come. So before Rock give us the concluding point, if anyone with us tonight, I'm going to unmute everybody. If you have a question, we want you to ask. If you have a comment on what we have said, we want you to make that comment before Rock will come in to give our concluding point tonight. All right, good. All right, Rob, can you conclude for us tonight and let me make the announcement?
Certainly. So, question. How strong is your faith? When God speaks to you, do you go without hesitation?
That's a great question.
Yeah, or do you question doubt, like Jonah, like Moses? Are there other gods that you're serving? Career, home, family, car, money, success, the American dream. All these things can become an idol, not just a golden calf. We don't realize it, but if any of these comes before God, they are an idol. You know, here we see these other kings that were puffed up with pride, that were arrogant. They ceased to listen to the elders, to the prophets, to those that were sent to them. We see a couple where there was some revival, but we see many that just rebelled.
Right.
And if we have these idols, if any of these things come before God, we need to cast them down. For God is a jealous God. He's our creator who loves us beyond anything we can imagine. You know, he sent his only son to die for us. What greater love is there? So let us praise and worship him alone. And cast down these idols. Let's focus on him, and let's choose the path of the cross of salvation.
Thank you. That's good. Thank you, Rob. Thank you. Great. Great. All right. Now, for those of you that are with us tonight, thank you. And those by way of replay, this is what we want you to do for us. When you are watching a video on YouTube, you have thumbs up and thumbs down. Give us some comment. Leave a comment for us or hit a button. With your choice, what are we doing good? You hit thumbs up. If we're not doing good, hit whatever you put there, we'll respect it. If you are watching it on our website, do the same. Leave us a comment. It will help us. And as we prepare every week for this study, and we want you to send us an email, write us. We will love to you can call the same number that I gave you, 561-406-9853. Leave questions there for us. We will get back to you. We'd love to do this. And thank you for joining us tonight. All right. Okay, Rob, well, can you just pray for us? Thank you for coming, everybody. Rob, pray for us. Please.
Sure. Oh, Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for this time to study your word. Lord, this was a very difficult task that you asked Jose to do, Father. Lord, I know I can't imagine being asked such a thing, but I know there have been other things that you've asked me that were very difficult, Father. And Lord, I just give you thanks for the trials, the tribulations, these requests that you've made of me, Father. For Lord, through all of them, I've seen your love, your grace, and come to know you closer, Father. And I'm so thankful. And Lord, I just want to praise you. Praise you for creating each and every one of us for this beautiful world that we live in. But most of all, Lord, I want to praise you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, that we may have salvation in him, Father. We know we all have fallen short. And none of us are worthy. But, Father, through our faith in Christ alone, we can have salvation and we can spend eternity with you. And that, I just praise and magnify your name. Thank you so much for this gift. And in his name I pray, in the name of Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Join us next Sunday at 8 p.m. We will continue our study on who? Hosea. Great study. It's a great blessing. And look at it. We will really enjoy it. So thank you. Bye-bye, everybody.